produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Chapter 27. I encourage everyone to buy yourself a study Bible. I will say that every time. We will see in our Bibles that chapter 27, the heading is Isaac Blesses Jacob. So we already know where we are, okay? We know what we're about to deal with. Isaac is going to bless Jacob and transfer the blessings unto him. So let's get started with that. You know, we got Abraham, we got Isaac, now we have Jacob. So we know that we're dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. We know that we're in Genesis early on in the Bible. I've told you over and over again, make sure that you remember what you are reading, if it falls under a covenant, if it falls under a promise, if it falls under a principle or a custom. Make sure you know that so that you can understand what you are reading. So in my notes here, and those of you that don't have the notes, don't worry, I'm going to be reading off the screen, so just follow along, just listen with us. The notes, you can see them on YouTube. Go to the channel Corey Evans Sr., search that, and it will come up, and you can review it at a later time, and you can see all the notes, okay? It starts off stating in chapter 27 that Isaac was old now, and he was mostly blind. It makes sure to specify that because it's going to set the scene for what is about to happen. Isaac told Esau that he was close to his death. He was up in age. So he made a request of his son. Who was Esau? Esau, remember, was the firstborn son, okay? So he says, go to the field and hunt game for me. Make me my favorite meal so my soul may bless you before he died. So what he is saying, this is kind of like a last will and testament preparation is what this is. He is saying, I know that I'm about to expire within a matter of days somewhat. So before I do that, I want to officially, he says, so my soul may bless you. That is the transference of the blessing. That's when the patriarch of the family, the head of the clan, that's when you call the one that you have chosen to take your place as the head. That's when you transfer all blessings unto them of the family, all wealth, all cattle, everything transfers to that person. You stipulate that so that at your death, this automatically is set in stone. Now, remember, go back to the last lesson. Go back to your notes. Remember, you have a birthright and you have a blessing. It's two different things. The birthright is automatic. It's the first son that's born. The first son that's born. Now, that could be changed. It can be given away. It can be altered. That son can do things during his lifetime to where the father decides, okay, you're not the type of person to take over the family, so you cannot receive the blessing. The blessing is voluntary. He specifically gives it to the one who deserves it, the one that he has chosen, and he does that right before his death, which is why, remember, just for those of you that are signing on now, remember, Esau gave away his birthright because he knew that he was his father's, Isaac's, his father's favorite. So he knew that he would get the blessing at death. So he wasn't worried about the birthright. Okay, moving right along. Now, Rebecca, the mother, Rebecca overheard Isaac talking to Esau, the son, the firstborn son. She told her son Jacob, the number two son, the secondborn. Remember what we said. Isaac's favorite was Esau. That's what the Bible says in the last chapter. Okay? Rebecca's favorite was Jacob. So they loved them both, but we're just speaking of the favorites. Okay? Rebecca overheard Isaac talking to Esau. She told her son Jacob to obey her voice. Listen to your mother. I've heard that about a million times. And devise a plan. She devised a plan to make food for her husband before Esau returned. Remember, Isaac instructed Esau to go in the field, get game. We're going to cook it. We're going to do all this. And I'm going to give you the blessing. Okay? Rebecca saying, hurry up. Let's get this done before Esau hunts and returns back. Okay? So she said, so that Jacob could receive the blessing from his father. So that she could circumvent the blessing being given to the firstborn, and it will be now given to the secondborn if they're successful. Rebecca came up with this plan. Now, we see in verse 28 and 29, Isaac blesses Jacob. So it was successful. Now, we know we could go through each one of those verses and we can pin those out, but I'm just hitting the high points for you so we can move along, because we all pretty much know this story. But Isaac blesses Jacob in verse 28 and verse 29. Everything is self-explanatory up until that point. So let's just look at 28 and 29. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of the heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and of the plenty of the grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you, and be master over your brethren, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. This is what Esau wanted from his father, but it did not happen. Jacob got it. Now, you can read the verses before that. We know what happened. Rebecca prepared the food. They fooled, and remember what we said, Isaac was mostly blind. He was old and mostly blind. But they knew that what? Esau was hairy. They knew that Esau had a smell of the field. So they put different clothes on him. They put everything upon Jacob so that he could have the smell and the feel of his brother. Okay, so read those verses before that. We pretty much know that story, but I just want to mention it so I don't go over that too fast. So they purposely deceived Isaac. So now Jacob felt like his brother, smelt like his brother, hairy and the smell. And so that's how it was easy for him to deceive the father. So now Esau returns and realized that his brother once again has deceived them. Now, I will just give a little side note. Y'all know if I ever say something that's just my opinion, because I try not to put my opinion in it, we're dealing with scripture. But my interpretation. My interpretation, because I try not to give my opinion. My interpretation, when I read it the first time, when you read of the birthright, you see Esau saying, what good is this birthright to me if I'm starving? If you feed me, I will give you my birthright. He knew everything that was going on, so I cannot say that he was deceived. I can't say that Esau was deceived out of his birthright. I can't say that. That's not what the scripture is saying to me. Now here, as far as the blessing, he was deceived 100%, and we can see it in scripture. Before he gave it away, knowing that, and I made sure to make this point last session, he knew that he would still get the blessing, and the blessing could not be changed when the birthright could be changed. So the blessing is legally binding and it supersedes the birthright. But now he's deceived out of that blessing. This is not his fault. This is nothing he knew of. Now he's being flat out deceived. Okay, and we know that Jacob's name means that, right? Okay, so now Esau hates his brother. I can't blame him for that. Esau hates Jacob because of the blessing and losing the blessing. And he vowed to kill his brother once the time of mourning was complete for their father. Out of respect for the father, nothing could be done until the father was deceased. They had the week or so of mourning. And then he vowed. That means that nothing was going to change his actions. No one could change that. He vowed to kill his brother. So now it's getting hot and heavy. Rebekah instructed Jacob to flee from his brother's anger because that's her favorite. She does not want anything to happen to Jacob. Flee from your brother's anger and go to safety to my brother's Laban. Here go Laban again. Remember, we mentioned him. Go to my brother Laban's house in Haran. And we find that in 43. It's very simple, but it says, if we back up to 42, and the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau confronts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. 43. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban's in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away. Now, we know that was going to take longer than a few days, right? All that he had did to his brother. So let me give you a side note. I will read it. Those of you see it in your notes, okay? The Bible does not say that Rebekah ever saw her son again. Okay? She sent her son away, but it doesn't specifically say that she saw her son again after she sent him away. I want you to look at something specific, okay? Look at verse 13. Let's back up a little bit. Chapter 27, verse 13. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them from me. Okay? She is saying that, let's bag up to 12. Let's get to context. Let's bag up to 12. Matter of fact, 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, verse 11, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him. Well, we know he is a deceiver. But, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. So I know you're trying to get me the blessing, but if he discovers this, I'm going to be cursed. And I would rather not have the blessing than to be cursed. Okay? But his mother said, verse 13, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice. So, a side note. I don't know if that threw up a red flag when you guys was reading that. I told you, read every single word. Take your time. Don't go fast just to get through the chapter. Read everything. This is major. She is saying, you are deceiving your father for this blessing. The curse cannot be upon you. I accept the curse upon myself. Now, how many of y'all missed that? How many of y'all read over that so quickly that you missed that? That is major. That is major. That means that the repercussions would not fall onto her son. Now, theologians believe, and as I say, I always tell y'all the theory or what theologians believe or what research has pointed out to me, but it doesn't say this specifically in scripture. I will always tell you that. But the theory behind this is, you will see in chapter 35, verse 19, when we get there, that Rebecca dies before her husband, but she dies while giving childbirth. And also that part of a punishment, she loved the Bible. Remember, the Bible specifically says, it stipulates that she loves her son so much and she's doing all this, but then also in scripture, you don't see that she ever sees her son again. So the theory behind it is when she accepts the curse onto herself, she doesn't see her son again, and she dies during childbirth while giving birth to her last son, Benjamin. And we will see that in scripture. Amen. Amen. That could have blessed someone right there. Possibly you missed that in scripture. Okay, moving right along, guys. Verse 46, the last thing I want to say in 27 is the last verse in the chapter. Okay. It says, and Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. This is a lie. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heath, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? That's a lie. I hope you caught that. Okay. She was covering her tracks. She sent her son away. Why? Because she didn't want the other brother to kill him. She didn't want Esau to kill him. It had nothing to do with finding a wife. It had nothing to do with, I don't want him to be here and find a wife here. It had nothing to do with that. She was covering her tracks. Did you catch that in your reading? Verse 46 is Rebecca lying to her husband. I'm just being honest. That's what verse 46 is. She's lying. She's covering her tracks to cover why, because you know that he was saying, where's my son? Okay? Well, now she told Jacob to leave, and we know why that is. Okay? So that was verse 46 was a lie. Put that in your notes. Okay? And here I have in our notes, Rebecca lied to Isaac and said she sent Jacob away to find a wife, verse 46. So that sums up chapter 27, guys. I will always say, I cannot say every single thing in the chapter, okay? Send me messages during the week. Text me, email, if you want to talk about something that I missed. We always stay on the line after we shut the recording down or the YouTube recording down. We always stay on the line and we get input from everybody to see what the Spirit spoke to them pertaining to these verses. I cannot say everything because I only have an hour. I will always point out the things that progress the story, that progress God's plan and progress his promises. If there are little side notes that I don't mention, charge it to my head and not my heart, but they are secondary facts. Let me tell you again, don't get caught up in secondary facts. Make sure that you understand them, but if they don't progress the story, the main story of the Bible, keep it in proper context. It's a secondary story, okay? All right, let's move on to chapter 28. Turn your Bibles to chapter 28. You will see in your study Bible that it doesn't give like a heading like it did in previous chapters. If you see in your study Bible that it doesn't give you a heading, like it doesn't say chapter 28, then something, that means that it is a direct continuation of the verse right before it. Because remember, in the original transcripts, it wasn't broken down into chapters and verses now. It was just a long transcript. Our translations have chapters and verses, okay? Just a little side note for you. My first note here, chapter 28, Isaac blessed Isaac blessed and charged Jacob. He blessed and charged Jacob. My notes here says that don't take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Isaac extended to Jacob the covenant blessing of number one. The blessing has two parts, two major parts. One, the blessing is, and what blessing are we talking about? The Abrahamic covenant and the blessings that came along with it. Okay? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now we're down to Jacob. For one, blessings of offspring. For two, blessings of land. Okay? Let's look at that. Verse 3 and verse 4, chapter 28. Okay, matter of fact, let me start at verse 1, guys. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, comma, separating the thought, and charged him, comma, and said to him, you shall, so what did he say to him? So he said to him, he charged him, he blessed him, is what that scripture just said, okay? Here's what it says. You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Instruction. And arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And another instruction. Now, the official blessing, verse 3, may God Almighty, the Most High God, bless you, the blessing, and make you fruitful and multiply, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessings of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, to you and your descendants with you. Other people will be blessed, that you may inherit land. Here we go, the blessing of land, in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel. Okay? So the blessing had two parts. Offspring, he will be blessed, the offspring will be blessed, and the blessing of land. Put that in your notes, those of y'all that are writing, okay? That's verse 3 and verse 4. So very important. When you are reading, everything, guys, that you are reading after this, everything that happens to Jacob is because of this reason. God is blessing him, God is blessing the offspring, and God is giving him the blessing of land, everything. So if you don't keep that in your mind, you can't follow the flow of the Bible. You get caught up in other things without realizing what you're supposed to be focused on, okay? Everything that happens, no matter who did it to him, no matter if he did it, it all falls under the purpose of the Abrahamic covenant and the blessings. Okay, let's move right along. Isaac left for Padan Aram, his mother's hometown. You'll see that in verse 5. Verse 5. Now, verse 8. Got to deal with this. Esau saw that his father disapproved of the two wives of Canaan that he had married previously. Now, I put a little note there for you so you can research it. That was, we read that before in chapter 26, verse 34, okay? Now, let's look at 28, verse 8. Now, listen to how this sounds. Now, we just talked about what Isaac said to Jacob and to go find a wife, and he could not have the daughters of Canaan, remember? Okay, so look at verse 8. No, I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 7. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. I wanted to make sure to say obeyed. That sets up verse 8. Also, come another brother. Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father, Isaac. Verse 9. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebojoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives that he had. Are you kidding me? Did y'all catch that? Please tell me that you caught that in your reading. Look at the next note on the notes that I sent you. Instead of Esau honoring his father's wishes, he could have divorced the two women that he already married and should not have married. Okay? Two Canaanite women. He just heard with his own ears, his father, now he already knew it, but he heard it again that his father verbalized, I don't want my son or my sons or my family, period, intermarrying with the Canaanites. Our line has to remain pure, is what he's saying. You see that all throughout the line. And he knew this, and he just heard it in his own hearing. So what he could have done is, okay, I'm going to divorce these two. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to divorce these two, and I'll take a wife of the family that I should. But no, he took a third wife from the wrong family. So what is he saying? All that I'm disgruntled about, I'm about to disobey my father and mock my father's wishes. Did y'all catch that? Did you catch that in your reading? If you didn't, slow down. Slow down in your reading and hang on every word and say to yourself after every verse, why? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? And then you will be able to get a lot more meaning out of the scripture. Okay? He was mocking and disobeying his father. Now, should he have done that? No. It wasn't Isaac's fault that he sold his birthright away. Wasn't Isaac's fault. It wasn't Isaac's fault that he was old and blind and got tricked. It wasn't his fault. So he shouldn't be mocking his father. But let me tell you how good God is. Or should I say how all-knowing God is, the Most High. In all of this, make sure to remember one thing. I tell you every session, it's about selection. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew every hair on your head. God had already pre-selected who he wanted. All the facts just had to play out, people. So when you see this happening, Isaac was already going to get it, regardless, at the end. But all these things had to happen. And we will see later that it just teaches Isaac a lesson. Okay? Well, it teaches Jacob a lesson, excuse me. All these names, I got to keep them straight, y'all. Teaches Jacob a lesson later. Okay? So it's all in God's plan. So remember that. But God knew the heart of Esau. So Esau could not get the blessing anyway. God knew that when he was formed in his mother's womb. God knew Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. God knew the countenance of Cain. And on and on and on. It's a selection process, my brother, my sister that is listening. Remember that. It's a selection process. So now, moving right along. Look at verse 10. My study Bible has it separated as Jacob's vow at Bethel. Jacob's vow at Bethel. So let's discuss that. So now Jacob is leaving. Jacob left and he went 500 miles north to Haran. Okay. He camped in central Canaan on one of the first days of his trip. Jacob placed a stone beneath his head and he fell asleep. Okay. God appeared to him in a dream. Let me make sure to mention, don't go over there too fast. When it says God appeared to him in a dream, this is an encounter by God, by the Most High, to him. This is a divine encounter. God used a dream or vision to do it. But this is an encounter. Very important. Don't miss that. So in verse 12, a ladder was set upon the earth, and this is his dream, a description. A ladder was set upon the earth, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on the ladder. In the dream, the Lord transferred to Jacob all the essential elements of the promises given originally to Abraham and to Isaac. So what are we saying? His biological father blessed him and transferred the blessings of the clan and the covenant to him. Now, his heavenly father is doing it officially. Okay? Make sure to separate that. So, what did the elements of the promises given entail? What is that about? Okay, what did that have to do with? It promised the gift of land. It promised the descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth could not be counted. People would be blessed through him, not only family, but people would be blessed. Next, God would never leave him. He would always be with him no matter what he did. Lastly, to bring him back to the promised land, to his father's land. Okay? That's the promise. We got to look at it. Verse 13 and 15. So we're in 28, verse 13 through 15. Let's look at it. And behold, the Lord, the Most High, Yahweh. When you see the Lord in this part of Genesis, that's his proper name, Yahweh, okay? Stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. That's a powerful, underline that. That is a powerful statement. I am. Remember later he said, I am that I am. He's just restating it. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as dust of the earth. There you go. I will give you the land. Then now he's speaking of descendants. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south, and you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay? In your seed, what is he saying right there? Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, will come through your seed. So everybody will be blessed. This is what he is saying. Your family is blessed due to the covenant, due to the promises. But through this line, the Messiah will come, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer. He will come. So then everybody has a chance to tap into these blessings. Okay? Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Amen, somebody. God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. These are the elements of the promise. So very powerful. So now verse 17, Jacob awoke and said, surely, the Lord is in this place. Amen. What more could you say after that encounter? This is the house of God. This is the gate or the gateway to heaven. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you the flip side of something. When they built the Tower of Babel, the pagan worshipers, this is what they were trying to do, to build a tower so they could go to and from heaven and earth and be as gods. It did not work. Okay, but Jacob's vision, Jacob's ladder, as we say, as the senior saints sing that old song, this is reminiscent of that. But this is a vision. This was not a set thing. It was just a vision. So Jacob took the stone that he slept on. He anointed that stone and set it upon a pillar. He built a pillar and named that place Bethel, meaning Bethel means the house of God. And you will see that several more times in the next chapter that he speaks of this pillar and speaks of building it there in reference to God, just to honor God at that vision, at that present place. Okay? We'll see that. Now, Jacob vowed that if God would keep all his promises to him, that the pillar that he built would be God's house, and that all that God gave him, he would surely give a tenth back to God. Uh-oh, there we go. 22, let's read it so you make sure I'm not making this up, okay? 22, and this stone which I have set as a pillar, we in 28 and 22, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Should we deal with that for a second? Now, I think I'm going to just let it lay right there and let the scripture speak for itself. Okay? Abraham gave a tenth, gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Okay? Here, he's saying, you have blessed me. If you will continue to bless me, I will give you a tenth of everything that you give. Self-explanatory. Moving right along. Chapter 29, my brothers, my sisters, you will see a heading there. Jacob meets Rachel. Jacob meets Rachel. Here we go. We got another lady coming into it, another female coming into it. Now, we know that Rachel is going to be Jacob's wife. Okay, let's deal with this. Okay, Jacob went, time check, 7:39. We're doing pretty good. Okay, Jacob went on his journey and found a well with a large stone on it. Here we go with a well again. You remember Sarah and the well experience? Okay, with Abraham, y'all remember that? If you need to revisit that, go back to that session on YouTube, okay? Large flocks were gathered at the well, waiting for the stone to be removed because it took multiple men to do it so that they could water the animals, okay? Remember, these are large plains, most of the time deserts. When you have a well and you dig a well, you got to protect that well, okay? Then and one family or one group of people or one nation would be around that, and they had to protect that from other people coming in stealing the water, okay? So then the stone would be removed to water the animals. Then the stone would be returned so that to protect the water from wild animals or unauthorized users, okay? That's kind of what I just said. Jacob was there. Jacob questions the men and discovered that they were from Haran. And then he asked them if they knew Laban, and they said that they did. What is he doing? He's honoring the words of his father, saying where to go and to go to the family, okay? He's double checking because he can't mess this up, okay? Now, Rachel comes into the picture. Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a sheepherdess. Sheepherdess, okay? This is the first time that a woman is called this in the Bible. Mostly, the men did all the sheepherding. The Bible does not say why Rachel was a sheepherder, so I'm not going to speculate to that. The Bible doesn't say. I didn't see any research on it either. It could have been because the family was small and maybe one of the brothers could not do it and she stepped up. I don't know. Okay. The scripture does not say. So Rachel was the daughter of Laban, or Laban, as pronounced, his mother's brother. Okay. Jacob's mother's brother. So verse 10, look at that. Jacob rolled the stone from the well's mouth by himself and watered the flock of Laban. And I put a note here in your notes. Remember about Sarah watered the camels of Abraham. Remember? So now we have Jacob watered the flocks of Laban. So there's a direct correlation there. You remember that was a test with Sarah to, she had to prove that servanthood, you know, and humility, things like that. So now we see almost the same thing happening here in chapter 29 with Jacob. So he did it by himself. Now, it was kind of funny to me. This is not scripture. It was just kind of funny to me. It takes several men to move this stone. Well, now, all of a sudden in verse 10, we see that he moved the stone by himself in front of Rachel. Okay, now, I don't know. I think he could have been flexing a little bit in front of Rachel. I don't know. Trying to impress Rachel? Let me put it like that. He could have been. Who knows? But immediately in verse 11, okay, because we see it says, then Jacob kissed Rachel. Soon as he took the stone off, rolled the stone from the well's mouth right before it, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother, in verse 10. Verse 11 says, then Jacob kissed Rachel. Now, Jacob haven't asked anybody anything yet. He hasn't met the father. He hasn't asked for the hand in marriage, hasn't prepared anything. He knows that this is who he wants. He kissed this woman right then and there, okay? What else does it say? And lifted up his voice with a loud voice and wept. This man kissed Rachel. I had to put that in your notes, guys. This is just funny to me. He kissed Rachel, lit with a loud voice, cried right there on the spot. And for all you theologians, this is the first mention of a man kissing a woman in public. PDA, public display of affection, was not part of their custom. You were not to do that. You did all that in the confines of your own tent. He did it out in the open to let all the men in front of them know, I want this woman right here. You cannot have her, okay? And I'm gonna show you something else in scripture if I remember of how Jacob was acting in that day. So now they had to go meet Laban, okay? Now they have to go meet Laban. Well, no, before I forget, let me go ahead and show you this. Look at verse 7, 29 and 7. Then he said, this is Jacob. Look, he's speaking to the men around him. The men, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But they said, we cannot until all flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. But then he looked up and look at verse 9. Now, while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. Uh-oh. He looked up and saw. So then, look farther down, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth himself and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. That group of scripture starting at 7, Jacob was in a way talking down to the other men, telling them as far as sheep herding, they didn't know what they were doing. He specifically said, look, you see that? Verse 7, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep first and then go feed them. He's telling these people that he never met before what to do, telling them how they should be taking care of their flocks, okay? I don't know if you caught that, but that was that purpose. So now he's, and then we see later that he's in charge of all of Laban's flocks, okay? So he is establishing dominance over these men, telling them he know more than they know. I don't know if you caught that in scripture, but I wanted to make sure to pull that out for you. So let's move right along. Laban accepts, so he explained everything to Laban. They went to Laban, the father. So Laban accepts Jacob and his explanation, okay? He embraced him and kissed him, brought him to his house. Now, in this day and time, I have to say this. This was a male kiss on the side of the face, just like the French people do now, kissing on both sides of the face. They're still their custom. This was not a mouth-to-mouth kiss, okay? This was an embrace, a kiss on the side of the head to say that I accept you and I respect you. That's all it is. Enough said with that. Laban said, surely you are bone, you are my bone, and you are my flesh. Meaning, surely my family have sent you, I accept you, and I accept everything that you have told me. Because why? This was all done by word of mouth. This man just showed up and said, I am who I am. My mother sent me, my father sent me. I'm supposed to get one of your daughters. The whole nine yards, this man had to accept this, okay? That's what those scriptures mean right there. So then we move on to verse 15. Jacob, now look at the heading of verse 15 in your Bible, if you have one. It says Jacob marries Leah and Rachel. That shows you right there, throws up a red flag. Where does Leah come from? And why on earth is he marrying Leah? And it mentions her first now in the sentence, Leah and Rachel. So why is he doing that? So now you automatically know what these scriptures are about to tell you. He went there for Rachel. He kissed Rachel. So now, moving right along. Laban asked Jacob, what should your wages be for serving him? So, because Laban had two daughters. Leah was the oldest and Rachel was the youngest. Jacob answered his question and says, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And he said that verbatim in scripture, your younger daughter. Laban agreed. So here's the deception. Laban agreed. And Jacob began to serve him for 7 years just to marry Rachel. Okay? So after 7 years, Jacob asked for his wife, give me what's mine. I want what's mine. Laban gathered everyone and made a feast. So now Jacob is seeing this. He has no suspicion. He's like, they're throwing a feast for me. He's about to give me my wife. I have served the father for 7 years. Everything is about to happen. Okay. The woman of my dreams is here. But, that's why I put it in capital letters in your notes, but in the late evening, Laban took his daughter, Leah, the firstborn, and went to Jacob. And without knowing it, Jacob consummated with her. We have different age groups on the line, people. I'm going to say consummated. Parents, explain that to your children if you see fit. That is up to you, okay? Now, remember something, the customs and the day of what you are dealing with. There were no streetlights. There was no light coming into the tent. Pitch black, dark, okay? This is why this was able to be done. Yes, they had probably some type of lamp or light burning, but at that time, it was probably blown out or something. The deception had to happen in the cloak of darkness, okay? So now, Jacob is deceived. Immediately when the consummation happens, she is his wife, period, point blank. So now Leah is Jacob's first wife, period. Period. Now, as a gift to his daughter of his wifehood, as we should say, he gave her a handmaiden or a servant. Her name was Zilpah. She's very important. Zilpah, Z-I-L-P-A-H, to Leah as a maid. Laban did that as a gift. Okay. Now, Jacob woke the next morning and was surprised. When daylight hit, he looks over, and now instead of Rachel, he has Leah. I put a note in here to be funny. Now the cheater just got cheated. It's not good to cheat people and deceive people. It's going to come back to you, okay? Now, the cheater just got cheated. So now Jacob asks Laban, why have you deceived me? Laban told Jacob, it must be done so to give the younger before the firstborn. Look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. We are in 29 and 26. And Laban said, quote, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfilled her week. This is a custom. The marriage week, as we say, the honeymoon. Fulfill her week. And we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Wow. Okay? You got to fulfill her week of honeymoon or her week of marriage. Then I will give you the second daughter. Immediately. I want to make sure to mention that. Immediately. Okay. Then verse 28. Then Jacob did so. Served that week. Fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter, Rachel, as a wife also. After the week, he turns around and he was given Rachel. And Laban gave her a maid also, Bilhah, to his daughter Rachel as a maid or as a servant. Then, verse 30, Jacob also went into Rachel. He consummated with Rachel. He loved Rachel more than Leah. He did the week of marriage. Then the last verse of that section says, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. So he was given the wife, he consummated, then he served another 7. That was the flow of what happened, okay? Moving right along. Jacob agreed to work another 7 years for Rachel. I'm just reading the notes for everyone. So Laban, or Laban, I think it's really pronounced, gave him Rachel also, and Jacob consummated with Rachel. Laban gave Rachel a maid as well, Bilhah. Very important, just like Zilpah. Very important. Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Now, we have one of the most important sections now coming up. You will see verse 31 starts, the children of Jacob. Verse 31, okay? Both women, now the children of Jacob is known as what later? The 12 tribes of Israel. That's why this, the 12 brothers is the 12 tribes of Israel. So very important. Now, at this point, both women are barren. Okay, both of them are barren. God saw that Leah was unloved. So he opened her womb, but it wasn't Jacob's fault. He didn't love her from the beginning. He loved Rachel, but God saw that she was unloved, so he opened her womb first, which means he allowed her to have children. So the firstborn of the 12 tribes of Israel is Reuben. Reuben's name means behold a son, because that's what Leah said. You can read this throughout the scriptures, but we can just detail this because all it does is give the names. And I even added notes for you guys to tell you what it means, what their names mean, but it gives you specifically in the verses. So let's just flow straight through this. Reuben is the firstborn. Okay, his name means behold a son. God allowed her to have a second son, Simeon. His name means he has heard, meaning God has heard my cry, okay, that I am unloved. Levi means attached to me. Read the verses with that. Judah, already know what that means. Means I will praise the Lord. They are saying that I will give praises for the sons that I was given. Okay, I will praise the Lord. Now, but look at what happens. Look at what happens. God temporarily stopped her from being able to have children. So now she's bearing again. Okay? Okay? She's barren again, so she cannot have children now, temporarily, okay? He stopped her from having children. But here's a side note. She's had 1 through 4 of the brothers. She will come back and have the 9th and 10th one also. Put that in your notes for anyone that's listening. Moving right along. Now we're at chapter 30, guys, and that's our last chapter, okay? Chapter 30. Time check. I have about 4 more minutes. Okay. Rachel envied her sister because she was still barren and had no children. Okay. So not only did you take my husband first, you know, now I have no children and you have 4 boys. So Rachel told Jacob, give me children or I die. That's what she said. Look at it in scripture, verse 30. Okay. Jacob responded the proper way by telling her that he was not God and that he could not make her barren or unbarren. That's in verse 2, okay? So Rachel gave her servant, her handmaiden, named Bilhah, to her husband Jacob to have children for her. We've seen this before, right? With Hagar, right? We've seen this before, if I remember correctly, Hagar. So that was a custom of today, very accepted custom, but it wasn't what was supposed to be happening, okay? But what do we know? God's plan will still go forward. So Rachel gave her husband Bilhah to consummate with her, okay? So with him, the fifth son is born. His name is Dan. His name means he has judged me. Sixth son is born, Naphtali or Naphtali, how you pronounce it. Y'all excuse me with the pronunciations. But Naphtali, as I say, his name means my struggle. Leah saw what was going on. Leah gave her handmaiden to her husband. Her name was Zilpah, remember? And said, Jacob, bear children through her, because her womb was now closed temporarily. These women are going back and forth, back and forth. Yes, this is what is happening. So now here comes the seventh son, Gad. His name means luck or fortunate. Number eight comes, Asher. His name means happy. And you can see that in scripture. Now, Rachel made a deal. Now they cahooting together, okay? Rachel made a deal with her sister. Leah was allowed herself to consummate with Jacob for, yes, some of Reuben's mandrakes for some fruit. Give me your fruit because I am starving, your son's fruit. Give me some of your son's fruit and I will say that it's okay. There will be no strife between us. Go and consummate with our husband, okay? So here comes Leah's chance, her turn again, okay? God listened to this arrangement and allowed Leah to conceive. So number nine comes, Issachar, which is Leah's fifth son, but the ninth son in order, okay? Number 10, Zebulun, which is Leah's sixth son, but the 10th son in order. Issachar's names mean reward. Zebulun's name means endowment or dowry, meaning she paid for that, okay? Through the porridge, right? Y'all remember, fruit, giving that to me. So Leah bore a daughter in between that, and her daughter's name was Dinah. You'll find that in verse 21. A daughter is in between the mix of that, okay? But we know the line does not go through the female, but it mentions that there's a daughter in the mix, Dinah. So then God then remembered Rachel and opened her womb, verse 22. Now we have son 11, Joseph, okay? Son 11, Joseph. Now Rachel gives birth to Joseph. His name means he will add. Now, remember, the next major story that y'all know already is coming with the Exodus and all of that deals with who? Joseph, who was supposed to be the first wife, Rachel, okay? So all of this is happening, but we will see most of the blessings is gonna be funneled through Joseph, okay? And you ask yourself why? That's Rachel's son. That's Rachel's firstborn. You will see when all of that happens, Joseph asks his brothers, where's your youngest brother? Well, his name is Benjamin, and he is well. Bring him to me. Remember that? When he was in Egypt, I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's why. Benjamin and Joseph are sons of Rachel. Everybody else is stepbrothers, okay? Now, in this chapter, Benjamin is not born yet. As a side note, Benjamin is born in chapter 35, verse 18. We haven't reached there yet. But that's where I told you that Rachel dies in childbirth. She died in childbirth, giving birth to the 12th son, which is Benjamin. Okay? Now, Jacob demanded release from his responsibilities in Laban's household so that he could return to his homeland. You'll find that in verse 25. I just have a couple of more lines and we're done. Jacob was still poor for the most part. He's been working for Laban all this time, right? But Laban was wealthy because of God's favor on Jacob. So that's why you see what's about to happen. Laban agreed to give Jacob whatever wages he asked for in verse 28. Look at that in verse 28. So then Jacob asked for two things. And I know this confuses a lot of people, so I just put the notes here for you so that you can understand. He asked for two things, theoretically. He says, let me continue to keep your flocks, but let me keep for myself all the sheep and goats that are defected, meaning that they have something rare about them, rare markings or unusual markings, okay? And so Laban agreed. Because he said, oh, you want all the worst of everything. So fine, I'll give that to you. But look at these. This is all we have left right here, guys. Laban then tried to trick Jacob again. Here we go with all these tricks. And I hope you caught that. He tried to trick Jacob by removing from the flocks all the animals that had markings, and he took them 3 days' journeys away and put his sons over them to guard them so that they would be protected. This was done so that Jacob could not use them to breed with the other animals. So if he bred everyone with markings, then all of them would have markings, right? So he would still not have any cattle. So Jacob began his 6-year task to become wealthy. Another 6 years, okay? 6 years from there, to become wealthy at Laban's expense. But this is what he did, and this is paraphrasing all that you read in the end of that chapter. He separated the strong animals from the weak ones, and he used only the strong animals for breeding. Secondly, he put peel branches in the watering troughs where the sheep would breed. Okay? I misspelled that, guys. Sheep. It's sheep would breed on number two. Correct your notes. And thirdly, he made the flocks face the ones that was already mocked. Now, that was his technique of getting deformed or marked or dark animals, because those are the ones that they agreed that he would keep. This is the last note that I put in. I put it in bold print. God increased Jacob's wealth because of the promise, not because of these three techniques, guys. Okay? Remember, God is in control, not all of these tricks and deceiving each other and all of this. It was God's promise that he had given through the Abrahamic covenant, okay? Jacob would be rich and blessed and wealthy and have flocks and have servants, male servants and maid servants, and land. He would have all that because of the promise. Everything that happened that you just read in these scriptures is for one purpose only. And that was to further the promise that God made through the Abrahamic covenant. It was only to build up the wealth of Jacob.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.